Hey, y'all, and welcome to Grapes and Grain Podcast. My name's Teenie.
And I'm Laura. And this podcast is about our favorite thing in the whole world.
Alcoholic beverages.
And, you know, us common people are not the only people who love alcoholic beverages. Our episode today is about celebrities and their businesses around beer and wine.
Yeah, celebrities, they're just like us. They drink a lot.
Yeah, I always was curious why that seemed to happen so much. It seems like the life and career of a, you know, actor or musician, you have a lot going on already.
Yeah.
A lot on your plate.
The name, you know, famous name, famous face, it ends up being so many brands of different things, you know.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow's got Goop, which is a lifestyle pop-up shop, you know. Then you have other people like 50 Cent, who's got F'n Vodka.
Yeah.
Got all sorts of things. And speaking of famous things, spirits specifically, I brought us a little present today to get us our episode started.
Oh, okay. What'd you bring? I'm so excited.
Rolling Stones Jose Cuervo.
Tequila.
Yes. So I got this in the mail several years ago, and I remember the headline that I put on it. It was Booze Like Jagger.
Oh, because that's really funny.
That other song using those similar words was very popular at the time. So before we get to what we're drinking, I thought maybe we could start off with some tequila shots.
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to start the day off.
So
right here in Jack Northey Studio, do you remember Ben on my walk into the studio today? How I was explaining
about
how
you got too hammered the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tell us that story while I pour these shots.
Most specifically, it was a moment of reckoning and me not being able to hang anymore in my elderly, ripe age of 30.
Yeah. Don't offend people, Laura.
I was telling Ben that my cousin's birthday, I mixed red wine and spirits, and that was a big mistake I should never make again. But here I am doing it again.
Yep, here we go.
And 7 days later.
Unfortunately, I stopped by a Shell instead of a 7-Eleven on the way. So instead of getting actual limes, I brought lime salt.
Yeah.
I figured it's salt and lime in one.
I love lime salt. This reminds me when I was a kid.
All right. Oh.
That's so funny, too, because, yeah, 7-Eleven totally has super fresh stuff.
I know, and I was walking into the Shell, and I saw, like, some yellow things on the shelf, and I was like, excellent, those are bananas, this is a good sign. And then I was like, oh, no, that's not.
That is a really funny.
Okay.
Excellent.
So I'm going to try to do this where I'm licking my hand and putting some salt on it. Obviously not well.
Salt on it. Would you like some, Ben?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
This needs some salt to wash this tequila down.
So, boozing like
right.
Jagger today.
Yeah,
cheers, y'all.
You guys. Don't Sorry. Take the shooter of salt.
Ben's that about to cheers the salt.
Cheers.
Yes.
All right.
You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you might get tequila shots.
You might get tequila shots.
Ooh, that's lime salt is actually perfect for that.
Oh, my God. I love lime salt. Just
highly recommend.
But, man, this is really good tequila, actually.
Yeah, it's just Jose Cuervo Silver. I'm sure the Rolling Stones may or may not, and we'll get to this in just a minute, but the Rolling Stones may or may not have been involved in making the recipe or picking out the agave. Who knows?
Man, maybe I haven't taken a tequila shot since I was like 22, but that was a lot less scary than I thought it was going to be.
That's a lie.
Well, you should do another one.
We've got plenty more, but first we have other things to drink. Laura, tell me what you drinking.
What you drinking?
Totally. So I picked today a red wine, which is why I mentioned earlier. Oh, no. But I picked a Francis Ford Coppola wine. And I chose this wine, first of all, because I trust the man who directed The Godfather to make a good red wine. I feel like.
Absolutely.
Totally.
And if it's bad, that's going to be like a mark on his reputation,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
So what do you think?
I really love this. So I'm drinking specifically their 2015 claret. And it's a gorgeous bottle. I was really drawn to it because it's a dark bottle. It's got a black label and it has this gold wire net wrapped around it. And it's just so like, decadent and gorgeous and Italian looking.
I love that even winos choose bottles sometimes based on the label and the marketing. And
huge part of it. Actually, one of the wines I'm going to talk about a little bit later, Dreaming Tree. I've always wanted, I almost got that one too because of the label. It's just dreamy and gorgeous. But, you know, I was going to mention a little earlier, I get nervous sometimes with celebrity wines or beverages because you think, is this actually going to be good? Is this going to be really gimmicky? Is mm-hmm. this – what's how's this going to pan out? But this wine's great. It tastes like berries and plum and some baking spices, and it's just so smooth. And it hasn't even really been decanting. I've poured it like maybe 20 minutes ago or so, and 20, 30 minutes. It's already really nice. I really Excellent. Enjoy it. Yeah. Well, what are you drinking, girl? What you drinking?
What you drink?
I am drinking a Modano's 561.
Like a Mike Modano?
Yes, exactly like Mike Modano. The beer is named for his record-setting number of goals in his career span.
I love it.
This is a Kolsch-style beer made by Rabbit Hole Brewing, which is in a tiny town called Justin, Texas. It's a little bit south of Denton.
Justin, Texas. No big deal.
Yeah. And this beer came out in 2014. It's a really, really solid beer, great for summer drinking. The Kolsch style is very light. It's a lager, so it's got a lot of, like, grainy, grassy profile, but a nice hop balance, too. Not overly hoppy. The hops is actually probably secondary to some of the other malt flavors. Mm. But it's really good. I actually got to meet Mike Modano at one of the launches that they did for it. Yeah, he is involved in this beer, and then he also is involved in a brand called Crazy Water.
What is that?
It's like water.
Electrolyte water?
Yeah, it comes from
Jazzed
a spring,
water.
I think, over by Weatherford, Texas.
Gotcha.
So it's, I'm not sure what's special about it, but it's Mike Madonna's name is on it.
Yeah.
That's the mineral water.
Is it? Mineral water, that's what I was thinking.
Mineral wells.
Oh, interesting.
Out by Weatherford, not exactly Weatherford.
I love Mike Madonna. I had such a huge crush on him growing up.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Actually, yeah, totally. I mean, what Dallas girl didn't, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I got to go to his last game where they celebrated those 561.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. So a cool thing that they did when they launched this beer is Rabbit Hole actually made a jersey that was like a hockey jersey, but it was their brewery colors, which are purple and white.
Oh, yeah.
And they say Madonna and they say, you know, 561 on the back. Why I brought this beer, though, not only is it – I would recommend this to any person who prefers lighter styles and year-round. Luckily, it's produced year-round, but especially good for the summer. But I also chose it because Mike Modano is one of the only athletes that I've ever heard of to have a branded beer.
Oh, and interesting.
Yeah, as you'll see later, people who get involved in beer are predominantly involved in music. You know, beer and
so
music
funny.
Just go so well together.
I have a pretty even split of athletes and musicians and even actors, too, on my list.
Yeah.
Pretty diversified careers, I guess.
That's
over
very
in wine.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So that's why I'm drinking this. Cheers.
Cool. Cheers. Yay. Yeah.
All right.
I actually remember when Rabbit Hole launched. I was still drinking beer back then.
That's
oh,
awesome.
Man.
I miss those days. Not really, because we still drink together quite a bit, like all the freaking time. So you are curious about why celebrities get in the game.
Yeah. You got some insight on that?
I do. Actually, a few years ago, I interviewed a guy. He started this brewery called Rock Brothers Brewing Company. And what they do, the crux of their business is musician beers, music-inspired beers.
Awesome.
And he has a background in the music industry, so that's how he has connections to Hootie and the Blowfish, 311 launched a beer.
Oh.
They also do a beer for Umphrey's McGee.
Oh, that's so funny. Is Umphrey's McGee a local band or are they nationwide?
No, they're nationwide.
Oh,
they're not from here. But so when I talked to him, he had insight for me. You know, he works with these musicians. He said, you know, there's a real economic reality to it. So bands, especially in the age of digital music, they're looking for alternative revenue streams. And, you know, they want those streams to be something that they believe in.
Oh, totally.
So
I buy that. I like that reason.
Yeah. And a lot of bands can get behind beer because, as he said, he works directly with the bands to talk about, okay, what style do you like? What style do you think your fans like? And really help them mold and shape that. So, I mean, it's great that these bands are getting paid for something other than their music because obviously music doesn't pay that well these days.
Has it ever?
That's a good question for our studio manager who has an Emmy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look where it is.
Yeah. Look how far it's gotten me.
So that's really why. And I thought that was interesting. And I would be willing to buy a celebrity's beer just on that merit, especially a musician's beer.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I was really shocked at the sheer numbers of musicians and athletes and actors how many were actually in the booze business. And they're doing it totally like a variety of different ways. So I found in some of my research with wine that some people like Brad and Angelina or...
I know, it's Brangelina. Can we say Brangelina?
Are they still...
No.
Splitalina?
They're Splitalina.
Yeah.
Okay, so Splitalina.
Tragic. So tragic Hollywood love stories. It's okay. I'm still not over Jennifer Aniston, so... or Drew Bledsoe, where they're buying actual... like properties. So Brad and Angelina, and I think from what I could find is they still own this Chateau Miraval in France. It's like 1,200 acre estate in the village of Correns. And so they actually own that, the vineyards, the team that they have managing it and producing wines too. And they're actually, their second vintage they made sold out in like 5 hours or something crazy.
Oh, that's wild. I still, every time I go to the liquor store, wine store, beer store, I always recognize that bottle.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's almost iconic, you know, because really the people were so in love with them.
Ugh.
I've never actually tried the wine, though.
I haven't either. I haven't either for another day soon. But yeah, and then so like Drew Bledsoe owns his vineyards in Walla Walla, Washington.
Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah, which is like one of my, I included that because it's one of my favorite regions to say. And so they manage the entire process. They have teams out there working it, and they create pretty good wines. They're rated pretty well, actually. But other celebrities like Drew Barrymore or Jeff Gordon, which I don't know if you know off the bat, but he's a NASCAR, really famous NASCAR driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you hear fine wine, the first thing you think of is NASCAR.
Yeah, exactly. So, fine wine from a box.
Yeah.
No offense. I love boxed wine.
Oh, gosh. I did some fun research on that, too. I'll have to share with you soon. But, yeah, so they don't actually own a winery or vineyards, but they partner with producers and winemakers to create their own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some celebrities like Dan Aykroyd who, like, dabbles in wine and spirits. He has, you know, Dan Aykroyd Wines, and he also has that iconic Crystal Head vodka.
Mm.
But, yeah.
How is it? I have not heard of that.
What?
No, I'm not much of a vodka drinker, though, to be honest.
Either. I'm a big Skol lover, though. So every, like, spirit bottle that comes, like, Ka tequila comes in a Skol-shaped bottle, I have
Oh,
it.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah, my birthday's on Dia de los Muertos, for those of you who don't know me. All of you. Yeah, so, but then, like, David Beckham and Victoria, I was going to call it Posh Spice, David and Victoria Beckham, they own wineries, but they don't, like, commercially produce wine. So after living in Spain and playing for Real Madrid, they fell in love with Spanish wines and fell in love with wine. And when they relocated to L.A., he bought her a Napa vineyard for her 34th birthday.
And her 30-what birthday?
34th.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
To all first of all, that she was that young.
Which, yeah.
She
will forever be 34.
It was her 34th birthday.
The fourth annual.
She's really bad at math.
But yeah, I bought her a vineyard for her birthday. Like, best husband ever.
Yeah, to all the men out there listening, that's a great way to impress a lady.
Yeah, you need an engagement vineyard, not a ring. But yeah, so they only pursue winemaking as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, just make wines for their friends and family. So yeah, people are involved with it in so many different ways.
Yeah, the same thing goes for beer. You know, I don't know of any celebrities who, traditional celebrities who like own breweries.
Mm.
They have.
I thought you were going to say own farms with wheat and crops.
No, because, okay, like we talked about, yeah, beer is a very manufactured process. So like very few people who grow barley make beer,
yep.
Right? So very few celebrities that I know, like I can't think of one that has a beer brand and also has a brewery. Mm. Now, there is one band that we'll talk about later that is trying to reach that goal, but predominantly they are partnering with breweries.
Mm.
And there's actually, when we talk about celebrities in beer, there are two types of celebrities. So you have the ones that make music and, you know, play sports, but you also have beer celebrities because the craft beer movement is so young. A lot of the people who started it are still alive and still part of the scene.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So beer celebrities are a thing, and I'll talk about one in a little bit too.
Ooh,
but
I believe it.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about, you know, at least one brand of wine that you think you found interesting that's made by a celebrity?
Yeah, totally. So I actually found a couple, but I guess the first one I was drawn to was Sting's brand. And so my first experience traveling out of the country and my first real experience with fine wine happened on the same trip when I went to Italy in 2014. You know, we drove all around through the northern region where Prosecco is made, and through Tuscany, through Montalcino and Montepulciano. We went to these Etruscan tombs turned wine cellars. And so Sting and his wife Trudy have a vineyard in Italy.
That's amazing.
So, oh, I know. I was like, I want that life. So it's just 45 minutes south of Florence.
Is it a tourist destination or is it private?
You know, as far as I can tell, you can go to like a tasting room. But really in Italy, like you never really go to vineyards. You really kind of go to tasting rooms. Like they don't manicure them the way you do in Napa. And there's like vipers in them and stuff. And no one really like is going to go out of their way to speak English. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a cultural thing.
So I'm not really sure on that, but they are certified making organic and biodynamic wines because it's Sting, and of course they are. But that's a kind of hard process to get certified for. But it's a 16th century villa out there.
Wow.
And they have, you know, acres and acres of gardens because they have almost 100 bee colonies. And
oh my gosh.
They have olive groves, and, you know, the description I was reading said several pools and small lakes. And
yeah, they're keeping those all to themselves. Yeah. Like, don't stand.
Oh, is it hot?
Don't stand so close to me. Oh, like, stay very many pools and lakes away. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. And it's kind of a common trend. I don't know if this is the way in beer, too, but their wines are named after, speaking of Sting songs. So one of their wines is called, like, Sister Moon, and another wine is called When We Dance. And then, yeah, they, you know, commercially produce honey and olive oil out of their estate, too.
Oh, my gosh. That is such a cool extra thing.
I know.
But if you're in Italy, like, why the
why not be extra?
Yeah, why not be extra? Especially if you have all that land and space.
Oh, it's so pretty out there. It's the trip by which I compare all other, you know,
I know.
Countrysides, too.
And I'm Italian. I need to get out there.
I always forget that.
Have you met me recently?
Yeah. Ricciardi.
Ricciardi. So naming beers after songs is totes a thing.
Yeah.
The best example I can give of that is that the Hansen brothers made a beer. hops. Da-da-do hops. Ship it up, dub cascade hops. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So the first beer the Hansen brothers came out with was an obvious seller and played to the audience. If you're going to come on the scene, why not do it that way?
Yeah, it's called first of all, hops. All their fans are drinking age now.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, that is so funny. And that would have been a missed opportunity if they hadn't.
So when did they come
that.
Out with that beer?
That was in 2013. So it's been a hot minute, but it's not really available in Texas. You have to order it online.
You said that was their first wine? They have more since then?
Yeah, they do have a couple. So a couple things here. First of all, they aspire to have their own brewery, but they do not have their own brewery. They contract brew through a brewery that's in Oklahoma, their native state, called Marshall Brewing.
I didn't realize they were from Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're from Tulsa. And when I met one of the Hansen brothers,
ooh.
I want to say it was Zach Hansen.
Oh,
I have the picture.
Drop.
Yeah, you guys can see it on the website. We'll put it up. When I met him at Great American Beer Festival in 2016, he told me they had not built their own brewery yet, but they really wanted to. So that gives me the impression that one of them, at least one of them, has some sort of interest in the actual brewing process. But that's kind of, it's unusual for famous people who aren't, like, beer famous, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
They do have hops, and at that same thing in Colorado, the Great American Beer Festival, I tried two other beers. They were all, you know, middle of the road. I think a lot of times with celebrities, they're appealing to a fan base that maybe is not so beer savvy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They want
to
keep it easy
to the masses.
Yeah, easy drinking, inoffensive. But the Hansen brothers seem to be one of the brands that not only are women in the industry fanatic about, and we're always trying to get more women to drink beer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not only are the women fanatic, but, you know, they seem to have a unique interest in pushing the boundary like traditional brewers do.
Oh, cool. Very neat. Well, I have a musician for my next highlight as well. And you should know that the only reason I chose to highlight this musician was because of you.
Oh, because of me?
Because you're a big Dave Matthews Band lover, correct?
I am. All right. Love me, hate me for it. I love Dave Matthews.
Yeah, I remembered that about you because one of our first, like, outings together in college after we met, again, when I was still drinking beer, was to the Dave Matthews Band at Starplex, is that right? Or Smirnoff?
I think it was superpages.com center at that time.
And what is it now?
Dos Equis Pavilion.
Yeah.
What up, beer?
The most changing its name.
That was my 21st birthday.
Was that your 21st birthday?
I know, we had been drinking so long before that, it hardly felt that way.
I imagine it was that long ago because I've been dating Fleo for 10 years, and that was before him. That was before the Fleo era.
Yeah, so funny story for the listeners. We go to see Dave Matthews Band for my 21st birthday. Not only is it pouring rain, we're sloshing around in the mud. Four dudes came. Three of them were my ex-boyfriends, and one was one I was trying to date.
Oh, so God.
Luckily, it's my birthday.
I blocked all of that out.
Oh, man, it was really epic for me. So
yeah, well,
we're not going to post pictures.
They weren't,
of
like,
that.
Who we went with or...
Yeah, they were.
Weren't they?
They came for my birthday.
They came for your birthday, all of them? Oh, mm-hmm. I thought we just ran into them out there.
No, they
you
came for my birthday.
That is crazy talk.
I know. I'm not that girl anymore, and we're not going to post pictures of that on the website, even though there are some. Don't
Isn't
go
that
looking
the
for
story
them.
From 21 to 31, I'm not that girl anymore. I think it'd be like the title of our memoirs.
I know. All right, so Dave Matthews.
Anywho, I chose Dave Matthews. So he has his own thing going on. He established in the year 2000 called Blenheim Vineyards. And
Where are they?
It's just outside of Charlottesville in Virginia. And it's, I think, a family affair there with him and his family. And they put a lot of effort and time into restoring, again, another 1,200-acre property and farmland out there. And the reason they did that also was to achieve that organic growing certification and standard, which is crazy because this seems to be a common thing in celebrity wines. But in my...
Yeah.
Because, like, remember that Christie Brinkley Prosecco that we mentioned earlier?
Yes.
And I almost bought that one, but I bought it right before here and it wasn't cold.
I still have the bottle for anybody who wants to buy it.
Yeah, signed bottle.
Yeah, because hers was organic, too. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's from what I've learned in my wine studies is it's pretty hard and pretty expensive to get there certified-wise. But I guess it makes sense that celebrities are doing it because they kind of have some more expendable cash than, like, a startup up and coming.
This is obviously not what they do full time or to gain recognition or to make a huge profit. So maybe they, I don't know if that's like a unifying cause, but it's certainly cool that they're raising the standard in that way, as long as it doesn't push out, you know, entrepreneurs.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, the vineyard itself has 4 acres that produce grapes, and they do a variety of stuff there, really. They do Viognier and Chardonnay and Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon and Petit Verdot.
Wow.
And yeah, totally, right?
Do you see a lot of vineyards that produce that many different varietals in such a small acreage?
I mean, it's definitely going to be like a low-yielding, low-producing winery.
Okay.
I mean, or comparatively to some of these, like, mass-produced places. But, like, I think it just depends on the person who owns it, really.
Okay.
What they're passionate about, what they think will be the next big thing in their region. What, you know, especially if you're doing it as, like, a hobby.
Yeah.
More so than, like, mass-producing farming.
Yeah. And as long as the climate is good for all those varietals.
Totally.
Like, why the fuck not?
Totally. Or sometimes even if the climate's slightly off, it gives the grape a totally different characteristic, which you can use to blend with something else. You know, there's a lot of play.
Okay,
there's
cool.
a lot of room for play. Yes, and then in 2011, I mentioned earlier in the What You Drink segment, he partnered with a winemaker named Steve Reeder out of Sonoma Valley, to produce Dreaming Tree, which the label is just so gorgeous. It's like parchment and a really, like, intricate line drawing of a tree.
That's named for a song.
Oh.
And I wish I knew how it went.
Oh, so you could rock us on the mic right
now? But instead I'm going to be, take these chances, face them when they don't know the words and why the tide lights down you up in wine.
Yeah. Wine stems. So, yeah, and they also use the same sustainable approach as Blenheim. And, yeah, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that. I thought that was really interesting.
Cool. Well, something I find interesting about Dave Matthews is that he does make red and white, which can look very different. Like, they're in totally different sections of the wine aisles. When you go and you look at Christie Brinkley's Prosecco, you find it all in
right
one
there.
Section.
I saw but, all three, you know, varieties.
Exactly.
Total today, yeah.
So when you go, you look for Dreaming Tree, you're going to find it in two separate sections, which I think is cool and leads me to a local band, actually, called
Ooh.
The Toadies.
Yay!
Who you are very familiar with. It's your chance to do karaoke. It's your turn to do karaoke on this one.
I come from the water. I drink all the wine. No. Yeah, I love them. I recently have been like heard about the meaning of some of these songs. And I was like, ooh, that's listening to them so young. I think I really a lot of
before
it
you
my
listened
head.
Into the lyrics about stalkers and rapists. And
yes,
stuff.
Sexual assaulting.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's move on from that.
let's drink a little more and forget all that.
Yeah, no, the cool thing about the Toadies is for the last, it's gotta be 5 years because they do one every year and this is their fifth one. They partner with a brewery in Fort Worth, Texas, where they're from, called Martin House Brewing Company.
I love Martin House.
Yes. Okay, so it's
Martin House what, the salty lady?
Yes.
Ugh, love it. Okay, keep going.
So actually, it's been 4 years. I stand corrected because 1 year they released two. And so the first one they released was Rubberneck Red, obviously off their uber popular album by the same name and the song by the same name.
Now, love a good red beer.
I know, and it was actually really good. The second one they did was Box Slider after Backslider. And then they did Stars Above, Hell Below. And then this year, 2018, they put out Possum Kingdom Pilsner. So next year...
Super sexy.
I know. And the whole thing that the brewer has been talking about, Cody Martin, he's the brewer there, he has been talking about once they get to six beers, they might put out like a Toadie six pack, which would be cool because it would be like build your own six pack because it'd be six very different beers, but they are all produced by the same brewery and for the same band. Every year they put out a beer, they have a Toadies concert out in Fort Worth at the brewery. Yeah, it's been really fun. It's been one of the more famous and one more successful music collaborations I've ever heard of.
That's really cool. I love the Toadies.
And it keeps them relevant. I mean, they put out an album recently, but it's not really what they're known for. You know, you go to the concerts and it's all their fans back from the 90s and all that sort of thing. So
I feel like I'm going to age myself so much when I say this, but when I was in middle school and I was taking a photography in the darkroom class, I used to listen to the Toadies.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I took a photography in the darkroom class, too.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Kids don't know. I wonder, actually...
Do they still do that?
This is a subject for a different day, but I would be interested to know if they still do that. It's like a lost art. It's about to be a lost
point,
art.
Passion point you're touching on for me. But yeah, speaking of photography and films, the next celebrity winemaker I want to highlight is the wine I'm drinking right now. It's Francis Ford Coppola.
Tell me all about it. Even more than you did earlier.
It's going to make me a wine I can't refuse. That's so bad.
No, that's like the karaoke version.
But so I thought this was a really interesting wine because this was actually a name I recognized from wine labels before I ever knew it was a director or a celebrity. And let me pause right there just to say I love The Godfather. The whole trilogy, I'll take it in its entirety. I love the chronological edit, but mostly I love the book. And that is my favorite Mario Puzo book. But even as much as I love it, I never put the two names together until I was watching like a Making of the Godfather special and they had some commentary. I was like, oh,
that's so cool. Yeah, because you look at it and Coppola could easily be just like a wine name.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Sounds very Italian.
So, yeah, and he is really into it. He's produced over 40 wines from his estate in Sonoma, in Alexander Valley, specifically in California. And out there they have, like, that's definitely a destination. They have a tasting bar, two restaurants, swimming pools, a movie gallery, of course, performing arts pavilion.
Wow.
Yeah, totally. And you'll love this, bocce courts, of course, again. And he also...
Oh, I love that.
I know. And he also produces a rosé called Sophia in honor of his daughter. So between the bocce courts and naming a wine after his daughter, it's just all so Italian. And I love it.
I love it. I love the family affair.
Yes.
All they need is, like, someone to be hand-making pasta in sight. And
maybe
I would never
some,
leave.
Like, horse riding trails.
I don't know.
Like the heads in the... The head in the bed.
Oh.
Reference. Yeah. So that was a long shot reference.
Yeah, but. Sorry. God, decapitated horses. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yay. So speaking of that, not exactly. Yeah. Dogfish Head.
Oh.
Dogfish Head Craft Brewery is a unique situation.
That was a good segue.
Here we are, patting ourselves on the back.
I can't believe you came up a horse head with that. That's great.
Well, Dogfish Head Craft Brewery is one of these unique places where celebrity beers meet beer celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Because that's totally who I was thinking of right off the bat when you said beer celebrity.
Sam Calagione?
Yeah, the one
also
who...
Also in Italian.
Because he had a reality show for Dogfish Head for a while, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I remember him meeting up with like a basketball star and they brewed a beer and they rode in a limo. That was cool. I didn't know if it was a series. I just saw that one individually. Are you looking it up?
I am.
Who I've had the pleasure of interviewing and was just a pleasure.
Brewmasters is what it was.
Brewmasters. Yeah. All right. Everybody tune in to Brewmasters.
Yeah.
You can find it on YouTube. That's where I watched it.
I remember really enjoying that show because I really liked him and his projects. They're really interesting what
they
he's doing.
They are really interesting, but he's not a celebrity for that reason by any means. He is a celebrity for being a pioneer in craft beer. I once called him one of the granddaddies of craft beer. You go to Great American Beer Fest, there are people lined up at the booth to get beer just to talk to him.
Oh, that's so interesting. I was going to say just to get the beer, because I remember that beer festival here we went to. They had like the 120 minute. Mm-hmm. People were lining up hours before it even opened, and they were out of it in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, a lot of other cool things they do is they partner with musicians. So it, not even musicians necessarily. They have a really interesting partnership with Sony Records, which enables them to produce beers with brands for, you know, deceased musicians like Robert Johnson. They produce Bitches Brew.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and they've produced some for, they produced one for Pearl Jam. The most recent one was Dragons and Yum Yum, which they produced with the Flaming Lips, also from Oklahoma. And the cool thing about that was the Wayne Coyne, who is, you know, a legendary weirdo, they produced a record that was inspired by the beer, which has a bunch of different fruits in it, passion fruits, fruits I've never heard of. And they actually made a limited edition single vinyl that was filled with the beer.
I remember when you wrote that article. That was just the other day. Image.
Was it? It just came out this summer 2018.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Is that like more of like a display piece more so than a... You play it?
I would not take the risk in playing it, personally.
Ruin the record, ruin your record player.
Exactly. I know someone was like, are you going to crack it open and drink it? I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Probably just hoard it for the next 40 years until it leaves out on its own. Like so any normal human.
Yeah, exactly. Sell it on eBay like 10 years later in the future. Yeah, so let's see. What are some of the other epic collaborations they've done? They've done, one of my favorites, Grateful Dead.
I love that label.
Yeah.
I love that
American label. Beauty came out, and I'm pretty sure they crowdsourced what should be in it, and they ended up using oatmeal, making it like granola hippie theme.
That's why I really like them, because they do really interesting ingredients too. They did a whole episode on like the South American, like chewing up corn. They use really interesting grain profiles.
Yeah, I mean, Sam has written a whole book about ancient brew styles. It's sitting on my bookshelf. Well, I started it, but if you're not a home brewer, it can sort of read really densely.
Bog down real quick.
Yeah, and I like to read when I'm going to bed. So, like, confused is not how I like to go to bed. But I'm going to brew more this summer. I'm going to get inspired, and I'm going to look up some recipes in that book.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah, because not
Better
only
do some
is
videos
it...
videos of you brewing.
Yeah, not only is it, like, a history book of beer styles, but it's also there are recipes in there, too. So they've been actually really huge proponents of reviving styles.
Good for them. I love that.
I know. You love to hear about a brewery that gets to a certain point where they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Do
you know what
I mean? Passion points, and his passion points is keeping culture and history alive. Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan, sir. Love what you're doing. You want to pause for a quick break and we'll come back to it?
Actually, this Kolsch is so easy drinking, it's gone, so I'm going to get another beer. Hang tight, guys. Here's a word from our sponsors. Thanks for listening to Grapes and Grain Podcast.
If you are a retailer or a producer and would like to sponsor us or have your product featured in our What You Drinkin' segment, drop us an email at grapesingrain@gmail.com. That's grapes, the letter N, grain@gmail.com.
Cheers! You know, Laura, I can't believe how much fun creating this podcast with you has been.
I know. It's been a blast, and we've learned so much. But no matter what we release, I always feel like there's more to share.
Golly, if only there was a way to share all our bonus material with all of our listeners.
Actually, Teenie, there is. If our listeners support us on patreon.com/grapesandgrain, they'll gain access to all kinds of bonus materials, plus they'll be helping us produce more quality episodes of Grapes and Grain.
Wow. Exactly how does that work?
Fans of the podcast can go to patreon.com/grapesandgrain to make a monthly or one-time contribution to the podcast. Those contributions make it possible for us to create the quality segments we all know and love.
What you drinking?
And our fans that pledge to make a monthly contribution will get access to fun extras and bonus materials not released to the public.
Dude, that is so cool and so easy. What's that website again?
It's patreon.com/grapesandgrain. Log on and make a contribution today.
Oh, I'm ready. You don't.
don't need to if you don't want to.
Well, welcome back, guys.
Yeah.
That was a great salty break.
I'm going to take another break. I'm going to break me off a piece of this brand new beer.
Yum. Do you need some lime salt for that beer?
No. Actually, this would be a great beer with lime salt. Laura, I brought this beer for you today.
Did you?
I did. Okay, so what I just cracked and sort of spilled on myself is a sublime Mexican lager.
Oh my God, get the fuck out.
Yeah, so look at that artwork. You notice that's the sun. How would you describe that? There's probably a name for that sun.
That is, it's a sublime sun. I have this on t-shirts and patches and middle school backpacks. Oh, I love that I chose a Dave Matthews Band earlier and you brought Sublime.
I know. I saw that at the store and I couldn't resist. So this is a collaboration that the band did with Alesmith Brewing Company in Southern California. So I think Sublime and the brewery are from the same place-ish. Yeah. The band precedes the brewery by a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, they actually didn't release this beer until 2017. So that wasn't... Bradley was not around. R.I.P. Bradley... What was his last name?
Noel.
Bradley Noel.
Oh, no. Those other guys are... I love that. I will honestly say, just shout out to the surviving members of Sublime for keeping the Sublime love alive. Mm-hmm. I feel like finding Rome and touring with him, keeping just the brand.
The music.
The brand and the music. So for anyone who doesn't know, which I keep saying that, like, no one knows me.
for everyone who doesn't know.
For everyone, Sublime is, like, top three favorite band all time ever. Ever, ever, ever. And this can is so cool. It's all black.
It is. It's all black. Black metal, black label. Let's see. Is it one of these printed ones? Yeah. Okay. So the label is not even separate from the can. That's why it looks so cool. So the design is actually just printed on the metal itself. And it's a Mexican lager. I've actually never had it before.
Which I was thinking, I love that too, because he used to sing a lot of songs in Spanish. And I've actually been learning some Spanish songs recently. And a nod to him.
Yeah, and the best part about it,
which I love, but
yeah, the best part about this beer though is when they first released it, they were releasing it in 40 ounces, in 40s, because it's 40 ounces to freedom. Is that the? I don't think that's the tune.
I'm gonna drink this beer. That's not the tune at all. Let's see. It'll come to me later.
Okay, so this beer. This is the first time I've ever had it. Smells nice. Smells. You know, I get this characteristic from lager where I say it's really like. There
you got
it.
Okay, sorry. I told you it would come later. Sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
No, that's okay. Lagers to me just taste really like grassy and grainy and delicious. This is another easy drinker.
The drinkability.
I know I should really be using my BJCP terminology, but.
Steady, steady, relax, relax. It's all balance. Namaste.
Which one is it today? We're going to go with relax. We're talking about celebrities, so.
Yeah, celebrity beer, booze gossip.
Yeah, booze gossip.
So before a break, you were talking about, who are you just speaking about?
Dogfish Head.
Dogfish Head. I love it, love it, love it. I love Dogfish Head. I'm going to pick the reins back up with AC/DC. Are you a big AC/DC fan?
I mean, I feel like I don't have a choice in that.
You
got to
say, yeah.
We grew up, we know all the music by heart, even if we don't know if it's AC/DC.
That's so funny, because you're going to say, because the whole reason I chose this band to highlight is because of their epic wine names. Like, epic, epic wine names.
Oh,
and
yeah?
As I was reading through the wine names, I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize I sang that. Oh, yeah, no, that's totally them, too.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, here it is. So first of all, I guess I should give a nod to, they don't actually produce their own wine. They're with Warburton Estate, which is one of the largest and most well-known wineries in Australia. They are one of Australia's top 10 wine producers. They're of an Italian heritage. They traveled over in the 50s, started this. So they make the wine. AC/DC just brings the genius in the names.
Okay.
So
the branding.
Yes. We have your Back in Black Shiraz.
Yeah.
Because I'm back in black. Yes. Thunderstruck Chardonnay.
Thunderstruck.
Yeah. You shook me all night long, Moscato.
You... shook me on.
Love it. And Highway to Hell, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Highway to Hell. Okay, I was nervous. I was like, wait, is that the one?
Is that the one? I mean, I'm surprised we pulled 40 ounces of freedoms out of our booty. But yeah, so they're just, I mean, that's just some good old fashioned fun. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, you can be any type of person and pick up that bottle of wine. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, that appeals to all demographics.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, didn't you say that winery is located in Australia?
I did. You're so astute to pick up on that.
I know. I mean, I have the notes right here in front of me. Yeah. I cheated. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. And so I actually had one other highlight from New Zealand as well. And the reason I bring those up is because we mentioned the last episodes, and I'm finally less of a... I've processed it more. I'm moving to Australia.
Whoop, whoop. Woo. Breaking news. Yeah. It's been broke before on this podcast.
So seriously, though, if a deer and a headlight had a sound, it would be me on the last two podcasts. I was so the news was so new and fresh. But yeah, before I steal your thunder, did you have any more to highlight before?
No, I didn't. That's why I was trying to transition that way.
We can cut that bit out.
Yeah.
My last highlight is from New Zealand. So you know Sam Neill. You best know him from Jurassic Park.
Oh, okay.
He's the paleontologist in Jurassic Park.
I do. You know I'm bad with movies, but I totally know who you're talking about.
Yeah, another person I totally had a crush on as a kid. I mean, I majored in paleontology.
He saved the young children from the velociraptors.
Yes.
I think he was everyone's
rugged.
Hero.
Yeah, he was everyone's hero. So, yeah, he best known for Jurassic Park, but he has a really... full of credential, like, education and history. He was born in Northern Ireland, and his mom was English and his dad was New Zealand, which totally explains his, like, slightly interesting accent in that movie. I was like, there's a lot going on there.
I thought that was just, like, the park ranger accent.
The park ranger. But, yeah, so his family moved to the South Island in New Zealand in 1954, and he went to all these amazing boarding schools and higher education around there, and he actually began making wine on that same southern island in New Zealand in 1993, which is the same year Jurassic Park came out. So I feel like he got that Jurassic Park money and just kind of like went home and bought a vineyard and
That's
like lived the rest
awesome.
Of his life. Which kind of explains why you haven't seen him in a ton since then either.
Yeah, I definitely haven't.
Yeah, so...
good for him.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Follow your dreams, friend.
It's like, I'm tired of running from dinosaurs. I'm going to sit on my vineyard and drink some wine and chill the fuck
totally.
Out.
Totally. So... and, you know, New Zealand is really well known for their Sauvignon Blanc, but he is Pinot Noir obsessed, and he's won a ton of awards for it.
Whoa.
And on his website, there's a quote from him that says, I wanted to produce a good Pinot Noir that would, at the very least, be enjoyed by my family and friends. Since the original release in 1999, with each successive year, we have produced a Pinot Noir, sometimes three or four Pinot Noirs, that have done us proud and are, to be frank, too good to be wasted on our friends.
That's amazing.
No. He said his goal was to produce the world's best Pinot Noir. So go for your dreams, my friend. And that's what we're doing. My significant other and I are going to Australia and New Zealand for the next 7 months. We're going for work. And also, you know, we try not to talk about anything too topical or timely, so these can be timeless. But I would like to just mention Anthony Bourdain and what a tragedy that is and what an inspiration he is into why we are exploring the world and
Absolutely.
Choosing to go on this endeavor. And
that's amazing.
You know,
it's just incredible how many people, it's like every single person I know was inspired by him in some way, myself included,
yes.
You know, because he started out as a chef, but he ended up being such an acclaimed writer and
an influencer of society,
an interviewer, a get to knower of people. And that's really what I aspire to do.
An amazing storyteller. You should aspire to that. You are good at that and you should
keep
it up.
Thank you. Well, in rest in peace, sir. But we've talked a lot about men this episode.
Mm.
You know, I think every single beer that I mentioned is made by a man, branded by a man. Probably the breweries they're working with are owned by men. So I want to reach out to a woman who has experience with having her own beer.
Ooh, awesome.
So there is a musician from North Texas, but she has got national acclaim. Her name is Sarah Jaffe.
I love Sarah Jaffe.
Yes, she is such a gem to the music community here.
Yes, she is.
So involved in her community, and she recently played.
Her style.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And her girlfriend, too.
And her wife. They're married.
Sorry to underestimate y'all's relationship. What's her name? Zora? The DJ?
Oh, well, that's her DJ name.
Yeah.
Taylor Ray is her real name.
Taylor Ray. Good. You guys. I love you guys.
Shout out. So she recently made a beer. There's a new brewery in Plano that is unique for a number of reasons. It is called Unlawful Assembly Brewing Company, which is a mouthful, but it is located on the third story of a food hall in Plano, Texas.
I love this place.
So what this concept is kind of novel, well, not novel to many parts of the world, but around here, it's 20 different like food stands. It's basically like the 21st century version of a mall food court, but it's all local or independently owned restaurants. Mm-hmm. So on the first floor, it's all the food stalls. Second floor, there's like a bar and a kitchen and a patio. And then on the third floor, there's this brewery. Mm. And I wrote a whole story about how you build a brewery on the third floor of a building because, you know, it's really heavy equipment. It's a lot of transferring ingredients and product. So what they've done is really exceptional in that way. But they also have an outdoor music venue that can hold, you know, almost a couple thousand people.
That's awesome. Twitter, yeah. Wasn't she the grand opening artist?
She was. Yeah. So to celebrate, she collaborated with the brewery, which made a beer that has the same name as her new album. It's called Bad Baby. The artwork was so cool. It was this matte finish on the beer label and a lot of like bright colored geometric shapes. It almost reminded me of like an 80s sweatshirt, but it was a Paloma inspired beer. So the Paloma cocktail is tequila and grapefruit.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said that it drank so wonderfully that it didn't even taste like it had alcohol in it. So I kind of wanted to ask her, you know, like what inspired her to do that, what the process was like for her. So here she is. Hi, Sarah.
Yes.
Hey, Teeny Ricciardi with the Grapes and Grain podcast. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. When we talk about your beer was called Bad Baby, named for the record that you put out earlier this year. I wanted to ask first how this collaboration with Unlawful Assembly Brewing Company up in Plano come about.
It really just came kind of in pairing when they hit up my booking agent to play the show, the opening. So there's a brewery within the venue, which is super cool, and they reached out and just wanted to gauge my interest on it. And of course, like right off the bat, I told him, you know, I'm not a big drinker, but like when I do drink, it's this type of beer. And so it was really just kind of a cool, like, opportunity for collaboration and something that I'd obviously never done before. So it just came about that way.
Had you ever considered doing something like that before, putting your name on a beer?
No, I mean, like I said, like I'm not like a big drinker, and I guess I was always kind of like intimidated by people with knowledge of any. I used to drink heavy liquor and just was kind of like, you know what, no more drinking at all. And, but occasionally, like I'll have like a lighter beer, like a Blue Moon kind of, you know, in that kind of vein of beer. So I was always intimidated by the people that knew a lot about beer. So I kind of confessed this to them at the, you know, the tip top of the collaboration, and they were super sweet and I learned quite a lot. But no, I mean, in short, it's not something that that I'd sought after by any means, but it's absolutely 100% something that I wanted to take full advantage of, given the opportunity. So it was really cool.
Now, I was told this is a Paloma cocktail-inspired beer. Is that right?
Yes. Paloma, there's some grapefruit in it. To me, it's like... It's so good. It's, like, dangerously delicious. It's 5.3 alcohol content, and it's just, like, super... I wanted to make something that was light, like, not a darker beer, because it's, you know, the surface of the sun in Texas in the summers. So I just wanted something that I would be able to, like, handle drinking outside when it's that hot, you know? Something that refreshed rather than kind of made you feel heavy. Like super refreshing, like a cold Italian soda kind of taste. It's delicious.
Oh, definitely. I got to try the beer, and everyone that I tell about it, it would make a really great breakfast beer is what I tell them, because it does. It tastes just like grapefruit juice.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so refreshing.
It's definitely kind of like, it's just kind of like boosts. It's really like, it's an easy drink. Like it's very easy to sip on or down.
So how involved in the brewing process were you?
Definitely involved more so creatively. I honestly, like, these guys just took the reins. It was fun for me because I just basically got to say, like, yes, this is delicious. No, this is not really my style. So, I mean, they brought me all of these options to kind of, like, see what to base my palate off of, you know, when we first started. And then I came back in a couple weeks when they'd brewed some some batches up, kind of experimenting, letting them, you know, have fun and be creative. And they definitely are. Like, they brought me a wide variety of flavor and tastes. And honestly, like, I didn't taste one sample in the entire, like, I think we met 4 times over the span of a little over a month. Mm-hmm. To kind of test this out and, like, let them make new batches. And they just kind of, like, narrowed it down to 3. And
awesome.
Obviously, the one you're drinking now is what we landed on. It was a hard call. I mean, they brought, like, some really, really good beers to the table.
It sounds like it was a really fun process to try and figure out exactly what you wanted.
So much fun.
Well, I love this beer. So we just did an episode all about celebrity beers. And I realized when I was choosing the ones that I wanted to feature, they are all featuring men, and as you know, most of the brewing world is men creating the beer, so I love that you were able to sort of bring a different perspective, especially when it came to flavor profile. I honestly hadn't tasted a beer quite like that, at least not made locally, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Man, I love it. I love it, too. Really, really good.
The can is really cool. It's got these geometric shapes and like a human figure in a badass white suit and this awesome matte finish. So who designed it? Who did you work with? What was the inspiration?
My dear friend who did the record artwork for Bad Baby, John Lyle,
mm-hmm.
did the can artwork. And this is something else that was super cool of, you know, this whole, the grand opening of the show and the people that were promoting it and whatnot, like, they said, okay, since this is a collaboration, like, why don't, you know, if there's an artist you have in mind, and I was like, oh, well, that's easy. Way to tie it in all together. So we worked with John Lyle, and he was fantastic, and he just does things beautifully. He really is just a phenomenal artist, and he did such a good job. I really love the small little detail of, like, he left some of the pieces out so you can see the aluminum of the can.
Oh, I didn't notice that, but I still have the can. I'm going to go home and look for that.
Yeah, like you can especially see it in the speckles of sand. They're all the color of the can.
Oh, awesome.
My favorite little details. Yeah.
I loved the matte finish, too. You don't see that very often.
Love a good matte black, and a matte finish is classy. Yes.
So if you could pair this beer with one of your songs, which would you choose and why? Which one does it go best with?
Oh, I definitely based it off of Bad Baby, the title track of the record.
Oh, awesome.
It's just got spunk, you know?
Yeah.
It's easy, but it's got some punch in it, you know?
Definitely. So who is the coolest person that you've ever shared a beer with?
Man. Lucinda Williams.
Oh,
for sure.
That is so awesome. When was that? Were you guys on the sharing the stage somewhere?
We were on a cruise together. We played the same cruise.
Oh, that's so epic.
We just ended up in the artist lounge on the cruise ship every night. It was like the best dream ever for 7 days in a row. She's so cool. She's the coolest. And we had many, many drinks each night.
Excellent.
She's really cool and just a legend.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Sarah, thank you so much for taking time from your vacation to chat with me about beer. Is there anything else that you think people need to know about it? Is it going to be around? Can we still buy it?
It's still available. In Plano, it's still available. It's not at the moment. We haven't talked about expanding it, but obviously if we do, I will keep everyone posted because that would be super cool. But at the moment, it's just a summer drink.
Well, it pairs well, and so I'm going to grab a 6-pack from them, put on your record, and make a day of it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'll tell you what, girl. If you talk to her again, you should tell her to make a Clementine IPA, because I would get on that so hard.
That would be such a perfect pairing, too.
Well, what a pleasure this episode was. It was a little TMZ and a little TABC.
Yeah, a little fluff, but if you don't like the fluff and a fluffer nutter, I don't think we can be friends.
Yeah, I'll cheers to that.
Thanks for listening to Grapes and Grain Podcast. If you'd like to be featured in our future listener mail segment, please email any questions, comments, or anecdotes to grapesandgrain@gmail.com. That's grapes, the letter N, grain@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We love to hear from listeners and share fun stories and answer any random questions we get. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Find us on Instagram at grapesandgrainpodcasts, underscore between each word, and just search for Grapes and Grain Podcasts on Facebook.
Remember, that's grapes, plural, grain, singular. You can also find us online at grapesandgrainpodcast.wordpress.com to see blog posts that go more in-depth to each episode. You can also download or stream our podcast there and find lots of other content about beer and wine.
And of course, find us on patreon.com/grapesandgrain if you'd like to pledge a monthly contribution. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast today.
Cheers!
What you drinking?